You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings, and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan. Hello, listeners. Welcome back. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
My name is Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for Visiting. We are so pumped to have you back with us today. Let's get started like we do each and every week, and that is sharing one of you who's using our hashtag, #STR, Share Sunday. We will not only share you on our Instagram channel on Sundays, but also here on the podcast, in our emails,
YouTube,
this is on YouTube now.
All the things.
So use the hashtag. We are looking for people to highlight every single week. Who are we sharing this week, Annette?
Today, we are sharing at mostus.host. Again, that is at mostus.host. And this host is actually near and dear to our hearts. She is actually a coach inside our membership. If you don't know what we're talking about,
just go to our show notes, sign up for our workshop. But this is formally Flipping Wendy, and we want you guys to please go and check her out on Instagram, and then we want you to check out her website. She has boutique vacation homes in Arizona, and her design is out of this world, okay? We want you to check out everything that she does and all of her properties. She's also a co-host. So we want you to go to her website, check out everything that she does, from her design to her photos to her copy to the way she runs her co-hosting business. She is on top of it. She has been in the industry for a very, very long time. Like I said, she is a coach with it in our membership because she has that much knowledge. And it's kind of a segue into today's episode. I know that Wendy is also very involved in her local community because it is the Scottsdale, Phoenix area. There are a lot of short-term rentals there. There is a lot of chatter about regulations, and she shows up to those events. And so that is an important segue into our guest today. But please follow Mostest.host on Instagram. Take all of the inspiration that you can from Wendy because she absolutely is top notch.
And I think another thing to, and maybe you can even DM Wendy, get in touch with her. She has not only transitioned from flipping houses to property management with short-term rentals, but she's also changed her brand. And so if you've ever been really struggled with pivoting in life, in business, know that, yes, it's scary, but people do it all the time. Brands do it all the time when it makes sense for them. And so if you've been thinking about it, if it's tugging at you that you want to like change your brand or change the name of your business, there's got to be a reason to do it. Wendy's done it. She's done it with grace. And I know that her business is flourishing. So Wendy, thank you for using the hashtag. And shall we get on with the show?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. So today we've got Rent Responsibly on the show. We have David, who fell in love with short-term rental hosting in 2013. As a strong believer in the people of the short-term rental community, David co-founded it. So we've got the co-founder of Rent Responsibly here today. He co-founded it in 2019 to help harness the innovation and solution-oriented energy of hosts. And Annette and I love solution-based conversations. Rent Responsibly is a community-building and education platform for local short-term rental alliances. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, and shout out to Wendy. I think I know who you're talking about.
Of course,
and
she's
fantastic.
Awesome.
She is fantastic.
And I do just want to like rewind really quick, just so our listeners, if you're newer here, you guys, Sarah and I met at a city council meeting. It is important to show up. We want to let you know that. So not only is it important for your community to show up, it's important to other hosts. And you never know who you're going to meet because Sarah and I met there and now have an amazing business together 3 years later. So show up. It matters. It is important. And so, David, let's get into your story and you creating Rent Responsibly and why all of these things are so important to our industry.
Sure. I would love to tell you the story of starting Rent Responsibly, but I think maybe the prior adventures I was on might be the better place to start.
Do it.
And I have to imagine there are listeners out there right now that feel like they're potentially a little bit alone in what they're doing, or maybe they're finding communities in different spaces. But I was one of those. I started hosting, as you mentioned, in 2013 during a transition part of my life when I was moving from Boston, Massachusetts to Dallas, Texas. And I didn't want to leave an empty apartment in Boston while I didn't know if the gal I was chasing was going to tell me to turn around and go home when I got there. So it was in a little bit of a precarious late 20s kind of stage and just stumbled into hosting. And it turns out hosting kind of satisfied some of the desires and urges I always had, right? Entrepreneurial bent. It helped me with the real estate that I was working on, find a use case that was a stopgap at the original outset. And then ultimately, as I settled into Dallas, I was like, I really enjoy this because I like meeting the people, right? If you don't like people or don't like meeting people or providing hospitality, probably not the space for you. And that's actually, you know, y'all two met at a city council meeting, but you weren't born to go to that meeting. You are who you were before you got there. And you realize you had a lot in common. It turns out there are a lot of character traits of people in our space that are similar. And so I'll speed up a little bit to Rent Responsibly. After I got settled in Dallas, I started hosting. I started hosting my own property and then my neighbor's property. You know how that story goes. just this small kind of single operator with a couple people helping me. And after one incident where somebody had a noisy stay and I found out about it after they left, which really angered me, but also disturbed my neighbors naturally, I started a company called Noise Aware. I built a solution with a guy named Andrew Schultz, again, kind of meeting people through happenstance. And he's an electrical engineer. He built me a privacy safe noise monitoring tool. And then we said, hey, there's a lot of other people who might need this. And that led to Noise Aware taking off. And that was really this kind of eye-opening experience for me. And the reason it was eye-opening was, A, you realize there's a lot of unmet needs of hosts everywhere. And there's no kind of factory, if you will, of these solutions coming out. Those are just hosts building solutions for themselves that sometimes work really well and they turn into something, right? If you guys are in the education space, you guys are also in the community building space, I know. That was something you probably tried, weren't sure where it would go, and then you enjoyed it and you kept doing it. That is in the DNA of us, of our space, of our communities. And so through the process at Noise Aware of going out and meeting all these people, you realize themes. And the one thing that kept coming up was it should just be easier to meet other people on a local level because A, we want to learn from each other. We want to have happy hours and community building efforts, but mostly people just don't have the story right about who we are. Mm-hmm. And that leads to a lot of the stuff that might have led you guys to City Hall. And furthermore, this whole idea of education, right? Where does like education as a programmatic or systematic thing come from? It, in my opinion, it comes from experts. And guess what? We're the experts. Why? Because we've been doing this. We've had our hands on all the levers and figuring out how to host and how to manage and operate and the wild world of the 52,000 things you need to do right just to get a five-star review and keep going and do that people piece that you love. So I kind of just saw all this in a fire hose sense, because when you're talking about noise, you end up getting pulled into the neighbor issues and the city issues. But ultimately, it's about education. And that led me to wanting to build a system and a platform for local short-term rental community building. So that's what Rent Responsibly is. Rent Responsibly is a community building and education platform for local short-term rental alliances. And I will say it has been one of the most incredible and rewarding efforts so far, because what you realize is people in this space, like I said at the outset, are solution oriented. They're willing to work. Mm-hmm. They're willing to hustle. They're willing to innovate. And we're just trying to harness that power.
End of the episode.
I know.
I'm just joking.
Mic drop.
No, I think you're probably, there's so many listeners out there right now are like, you're talking deeply to my soul. Yeah, they are solution oriented. They do have 52,000 things that they have to coordinate to make sure they get that 5-star review. Let's just start. Let's get really direct, David. How can listeners, like, because we do want this to be a call to action episode, how can they get involved? It's more important than ever. Like, before anybody strays away from anything else, how can our listeners get involved with their local communities?
Great question. And I will say in a matter of months and years, there will be no doubt that you will have already been added or exposed to your community kind of like day one. That's the goal, is you're never without a community. Right now, we are trying to help communities start and build themselves. So what matters is, where are you? If you are not in a community that has an existing group, there's probably one not too far away. And if there's none in your area, Rent Responsibly has a DIY guide on how to build that. Now, I don't suggest everybody just say, hey, there's not one, I'm going to go build it right away. It takes some thought and it takes other people. So I would say, if you are action-oriented, which I'm sure you are because you're listening to this podcast and you're in this space and you want to solve it, you just want to be in a group, hopefully there is one in your group. Go to rentresponsibly.org. We have a digest or directory of all the alliances around the country. If you know of one that's not there, you can add it right there. Or if you want to start one, you can raise your hand to start one. We'll help you do that as well. And then at the least, sign up for free to rentresponsibly.org and you'll start getting in this general information flow. We have leader groups, how to start, tools of the trade, and it goes beyond just community building. Oftentimes, we're just taking questions in and building those resources as quickly as we can. So we are building a community of ourselves, but really that local community, that face-to-face. Sarah and Annette, I'm talking to two people who walked into a room and didn't know you would come out with a friend for life and a business partner. That is just like a natural outgrowth. This isn't just get together to kind of fight the outside world or do something like that. In fact, we're trying to get away from that. It's really about building solutions for ourselves. And there are a lot of people who want to do that. You'll find you'll have a lot of willing friends that are future friends that will be willing to help you start your community if there isn't one already.
But David, I have 52,000 things to do to get that 5-star review. Why do I need to make room for responsibly in my list of things to do and to be involved in?
Well, to be completely honest, you might not be the person to build that community. You might be a member. Look, members are as important as anybody else, but there are a lot of people who want to raise their hand. This is the test. If I said, hey, listener, are you a leader? There's some people put their hand halfway up and there's some people like, yeah, I love that. And so those types of people, I think it's a gene. I really do. It's the leadership gene. And it's not that you don't have it. Sometimes it's cultivated, it's turned on or dim and maybe gets all the way turned on. And there's different reasons for that. But there are leaders everywhere. And the reality is we as a community need to support leaders who put their hand up and make it easier and easier for those people. So your 52,000 things, like those are going to be your priority. But if there's a happy hour, if there's something happening at City Hall that you want to show up for or need to know about, the community is where those things are going to surface. And I do also, I will challenge you. I think both of you guys are leaders. I know you are actually. And if it's easy enough for you to just stick your hand up and it doesn't feel like one more thing, I think that's where we need to get to.
Yeah. And can you tell us, obviously we know that community building is important, but can you tell us some of the results that your communities, talk to our listeners about some of the things that the communities that Rent Responsibly has built in cities, how has that directly impacted those markets? Do you have some stories you could tell us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's common that we, Rent Responsibly and our team, are working with people who kind of desperately need help. So that often happens when a city or some other jurisdiction is saying, hey, we are looking at the rules and regs in the books and we want to hear from hosts. That's where they always start. It's like community input, community feedback. So the successful groups that start in that moment, they show up and they have a presence at those meetings, which really ultimately helps educate not just the city council or the planning department or whoever, but also they're in a room with all these other people who've kind of never seen a host face to face. So I think honestly, it's very basic, but the success of groups is showing up and honestly engaging in conversations, which is happening overwhelmingly successfully in groups that are well-led and well-communicated to. And guess what? Oftentimes those groups that may not have thought they would see eye to eye, they have these breakout conversations, same way you two met in City Hall, right? That's how it happens. We need to come out and have that conversation. So let's put that aside because that's kind of the advocacy and regulatory stuff. We also have leader groups that are throwing regular meetups and happy hours and planning sessions. And we just had in Hilton Head Island, a group that we work with, just did a volunteer effort to help clear, I believe it was oyster shells from a beach that were kind of overgrowing. And so something really important to Hilton Head, and they showed up and they were, you know, a big part of that and brought awareness to it. So these kind of community activities, I think, go a long way to build community, but also to just show people the types of local folks that are operating short-term rentals. So let's call that just general community building. The last piece of it is education, I think. Right now, there are a lot of people who think they're in good standing. They've never seen like a pop-up saying like, hey, you need to do one more thing, or you're 9 out of 10 steps of the way there. One of the things we really focus on is just letting people know what it takes to operate a short-term rental in good standing, compliant, legal, checking all the boxes. Right. Tax alone is a, God forbid, if anybody here is like an expert in taxes, like hit me up. Like we need a lot of help just explaining stuff simply. And there are actually, shout out to Linda in Arizona, who's kind of demystified taxes for in Arizona. But let's just make that simple. So education around what it takes to be compliant, and then also good neighbor practices. Mm-hmm. The first thing, and again, you're talking to the ex-noise guy, right? Noise Aware opened my eyes to just how simple proactive and preventative and communication steps that lead up to a booking can actually prevent almost anything, and you end up being a good neighbor just by the steps that you've taken and put in place. So good standing, good neighborliness, those are two areas where we've seen really people not only use and consume and adopt those resources, but ultimately changes the conversation a little bit. Look, I'll share an anecdote with you that I was thinking about before this podcast. I was like, what was that like seminal moment where I was just like, God, what am I doing? I just like been eating at me since 2016 until 2019 when I went full bore into rent responsibly. I was sitting in a meeting in City Hall, just observing in Palm Springs. And the gentleman on city council said, look, if you, pointing to kind of the general short-term vacation rental community, if you guys had solved your own problems earlier, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about banning vacation rentals. So he basically put it back on us, right? He said, solve your own problems and we don't have a problem. And then you hear other folks, neighbors, city council, whoever saying, I love to travel in short-term rentals. I just don't know how this is going to work in my own town. Or when I travel, the neighbors don't know. I'm just kind of coming and going. Or if they do, it's a friendly interaction. Great. That should be our baseline expectation. Solving our own problems should be our baseline expectation. Who are we waiting for if we're not going to do that ourselves? And so that was the fire that burned inside me. And so each step we take, I think, ultimately is trying to build what is our mission, which is a sustainable future for short-term rentals in every community.
Wow. Talk to us a little bit about, okay, when you get involved, like you were at Palm Springs and you were sitting in a city council meeting, or I know that, and I had to debate in high school, right? So I thought I could write something up and say something that was meaningful and was going to get my point across of who I am as a host and how much I love caring for my community and those that I welcome into our homes. But I got behind that mic, David, and I mean, I crashed and burned because I was so emotional about it, like, because it meant so much to me. So is that the kind of thing that Rent Responsibly could help our listeners with, is like what to say, how to say it, what's actually going to move the needle, what's already been said, and we need to kind of tweak it? Like, is that the kind of work that Rent Responsibly is doing in that regard?
Well, yes and no. You said the what to say piece, that is you. Like, you know who you are and what you do. That's the expertise you need. What we can help with, and we do have a guide that's basically what to expect when you're up there, right? This is back to education.
Yeah.
Oftentimes it's timed, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. And so you're going to want to practice. You're going to want to kind of be brief and in some ways either dial back on the emotionality if you're trying to kind of make some data-driven points, or emotion matters, right? Mm-hmm. This is not a emotion-free zone. You guys have built a life for yourself. And if somebody wanted to take that away based on things that you don't agree with, that's a different story. And perhaps that's the right message that you want to convey, but that's personal and that's up to you. I will say this too, is if you feel alone and you're not sure who else is like, who feels like you,
right,
there is this element of connectivity to one another that I think gives us all some confidence, but also camaraderie. And then ultimately, I don't think we want to be having these conversations at a microphone for 2 minutes in City Hall once all this stuff is already on the table. I mean, I hate to say it, but like, we're late.
Right.
We need to have started sooner. And I'm a firm believer that this stuff will get sorted out. It's going to take a little bit of time and a lot of hard work, but you should not have to become a professional public speaker or feel that you have. Telling your own story is ultimately one of the missing pieces. People don't know the humans behind short-term rentals are their neighbors already, right? We're not like we just like descended out of nowhere and now we're here. It's like we were here before. You have to explain it to people. And I think part of it is just stepping up to challenge. It's not something many of us are used to in City Hall, but it is a challenge at times for people.
Do you have a resource on your website that we get this question a lot of when someone just starts hosting, how to tell their neighbors? Because we get two different people where they're like, I'm just going to kind of fly under their radar and hopefully they don't know and I won't bring it up. And then we have the other group that's like, I'm going to be super honest right out of the gate, let them know what I'm doing. Is there something on Rent Responsibly that teaches a host, educates them on the best way, if they don't live in a predominantly, you know, short-term rental area, to communicate that to their neighbors?
Yeah, great question. Yes, we have a resource, but I'll just say something about those two buckets, right?
Yeah.
Everybody is a good apple until somebody calls them or they find out they're a bad apple, right? Or, and it doesn't mean they're a bad person. It means they may just be labeled something that they didn't expect to be labeled. We need to, you guys as educators included, I believe, say that's unacceptable. We need to be introducing ourselves, mm-hmm. period. End of story. Why? Because those are your neighbors. And in my case, I remember I started renting my house in Dallas. I was moving back to Boston, long story, for a couple months. And I went straight to my neighbors on all sides and said, hey, I'm going out of town for a couple months. This is how it's going to run. I have noise monitoring. I have a Ring doorbell. All the other neighbors, even the crossing guard who I got to know as it was near his school, like he had my cell phone. That's the approach. I think that it has long-term and sustainability all over it. Number one, it's the right thing to do. But number two is the golden rule, treat others as you'd like to be treated. Nobody wants a surprise. And so in terms of the resource that we have, we do have a good neighbor guide. You can download it from our website and it goes through all the things. Noise, trash, and parking are the three most common complaints. Noise is 75% of them. And here's the things that you should do as a checklist. And then in the back is a cut sheet that you can print, put in all the information. It's guest facing. You put it on the wall, frame it, whatever you want. And it's information about quiet hours and emergency contact and parking rules, trash rules. Like, it's on us to communicate that.
Yeah. I want to go back to a little bit about the community activities too, because sure. I like what you said, the cleanup in Hilton Head. And so it's not just, I mean, yes, that listeners like, listen, like Rent Responsibly is a great resource for pretty much anything responsible hosting related. But I like this idea of like, it doesn't even have to be this meeting where we come and talk about law or regulations mm-hmm. or taxes. It's this thing where we just get together as hosts and enjoy each other's company or give back to the community, not as a way to maybe get that pat in the back, but just to do the thing that we probably wanted to do anyway. So what are some other ways that hosts are getting together to be involved in their community as it doesn't relate to showing up to City Hall?
Yes. I love talking about this. I feel like everything we're doing for the next couple of years is really to build this future we want to be a part of. And we don't need to wait a couple of years to get there.
Okay.
But I think the fundamental premise, if there was a thesis, it's that short-term rental stakeholders, and this isn't just owners, hosts, and managers. Think of all the ancillary business and service providers. The local coffee shops. We're able to provide a central center of gravity for tourism and hospitality, but also for local small businesses and local service or hospitality providers that no other community or industry in the history of mankind has had that opportunity, because the future is unwritten. There's no kind of gatekeeper, if you will. And it's a local question. It's a local question because you can't meet up consistently in person with people from the other side of the country. So we were born during the pandemic. So everything we did for 2 years was virtual. But the reality is I was a host for 6 years. I'm just going to go to a personal story here.
Yeah.
I was a host for 6 years and I truthfully didn't meet another host in my own time. Many, many all over the country. This was working for NoiseAware, but I didn't meet anybody locally. And I, at the end of the day, that was a total shame. There were so many resources we could have shared. There could just stories you could have swapped. One of the best things I ever did was go to a vacation rental conference where you're like, oh my God, there's a room full of people talking about exactly what I do every day. And I didn't know that there were these people even existed. I thought they just lived on Facebook and sent pictures of like messy rooms and like, oh my gosh, this person moved the furniture.
Real Annette picking out. So good.
Yeah. Look, there are a lot of us out there. There are 600,000 of us, mm-hmm. I swear. And we all are building this thing that everybody wants, right? 80%+ of Gen Z has already traveled in a short-term rental, meaning they're never going to know a world without it.
Crazy. I have to piggyback. Everybody in our membership knows this, but I tell everybody, when I started hosting, I thought I would like be friends. I'm a very like outgoing person and network with everybody.
I thought
for sure that I would be like best friends with all my guests. I totally thought that. I was so excited. Well, that didn't happen. Now it's actually way better than I ever imagined. I'm besties with all the hosts, not only in our city, but across the country now because of our membership. And that is like mind-blowing to me and such an added benefit. And like, if you don't have a hosting friend, you need to get into our membership ASAP, because it is like, it is as great as you're talking about. It is that amazing to be in that space with everyone that gets what you do every day. And so if you are listening to this and you haven't had the pleasure of having a host friend yet, you need to put that at the top of your to-do list stat.
What are some examples, David, of what people are, that you're seeing when they get together because of one thing or another responsibly, other than the Hilton Head example? What are some other mm-hmm. examples other than a meeting talking about regulations that you see hosts are doing that are fun?
Well, so short answer is each group, I think, has a different flavor. There's something like 70 short-term rental alliances across the country at the moment. They have different cadences and different meetups. So I know in Portland, Oregon, for example, Debbie Herchert and her group, Host to Host, they do, I think, Tuesday coffees. Mm. And so they bring a challenge or item to talk about and they're meeting up for coffee. That's one thing. I think that's cool. Yeah. I'm not in Portland, so it'd be a little tough for me to get to that frequently.
Portland has great coffee though, so I would maybe fly there. To go ahead. Okay.
I've also seen groups come together and do neighborhood walks. So they'll go to a commercial district, maybe something that a lot of their guests are going to, and they'll walk around and talk to the different small businesses and say, hey, we're with the Dallas Short-Term Rental Alliance or whatever they're with, and go say, hey, would you like to connect with the travelers and tens of thousands of people we bring in on a weekly, monthly, annual basis? Yeah, we'd love to. Cool. How do we do that? Oh, sign up for this. So on and so forth. So it's really a little bit about kind of wearing the hat.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes when you say, hey, I'm going to put this hat on, I pretty much don't take this off because I work from home and I wouldn't know if I'm working or not. So when I stop working, I literally take off my shirt just to be like, okay, you can chill for a little bit here. But now I realize like this is a uniform, you know, mm-hmm. and there's something behind that. You see these hats right here. There's something behind that. And I think people like that. And so this idea that they can get together and be like, hey, we're all wearing the same hat. We're all hosts. We're all ambassadors for this short-term rental space that we happen to stumble into. But it's hospitality. It's community-oriented. And we're able to connect out into to the community further. The last thing I'll say, which I thought was really interesting, was there's host groups that have invited people who may or may not like short-term rentals in their community. I'll just say they don't, these particular people.
Okay.
And they're like, I've never stayed in one. I just don't like it. I don't like the change or the feel or what have you. They've invited them to actually come in for staycation and stay in the rental, go through the whole process, get all the communications. And maybe it's actually putting up their family when they came into town or discounted stay. So short-term rentals are a massive resource to local communities. Oh. So different ways to express that. I've seen a lot of groups get creative. Many people don't know this, but during the pandemic, March 2020, everybody's calendar was just vaporized. There was no bookings. It was a phenomenon as kind of wild as COVID itself, in my opinion, but they didn't stay vacant the whole time. What they did is they filled in with the types of people who needed private space to stay in during the pandemic. So 50%, we did a survey, 450 some odd people responded, and 50% of them said they had a pandemic related stay. Mm-hmm. So another thesis is short-term rentals make for more resilient communities through different trials and tribulations. We've started emergency accommodation programs in Texas when there was the massive freeze in February of last year. We were helping people find warm, safe housing for locals. And that was the kind of thing. So that's the kind of stuff community can bring forth. And I think unless we're connected, unless we're organized, unless we're actually building these solutions and then replicating them for other groups that don't need to start from scratch, I think we're not moving forward fast enough. And I do see us starting to pick up steam and solve our own problems. Back to what that guy said in Palm Springs in 2016, we just have to do that. It is just a non-negotiable in my mind.
But I love this idea that it doesn't, yes, it needs to be talking about those legal issues, but it's just like building a team within your community of other hosts is a great first step. I'll tell you, listeners, I manage a condo in a fourplex and the upstairs neighbor just wouldn't, like, he kept complaining about noise. And so I kept going over there every time personally. I wouldn't send a co-host, or I would go myself, and there was never an issue. Like, you know what I mean? And I would even message the guests like, hey, you know, it's an old building. Finally, the city ended up reaching out and they're like, we're going to have to shut you down because we keep getting complaints. And I knew that our guests were wonderful guests. And so I actually ended up putting a noiseware in there, not to noiseware my guests, but as data to give the city about, hey, we've got great people in here. And I think this neighbor is just being grumpy. And building that relationship with the city that when I did have an issue, they gave me more grace because I was just involved as a host and I was proactive. I was solving my own problems, right? Instead of just being a doormat and just letting this, you know, and it's, I just mean to say it's both ways. Sometimes we do have guests who don't understand how to behave in a short-term rental, in a community-based rental, but there are also community members who understand that we are legal and we are compliant and responsible. And so I just, having those community efforts, oh my gosh, I saw the hosts at the local fair and they were just doing a walk or they're meeting at the coffee station or what have you. Now your community officials are seeing that you're involved community members, not as it relates to issues. It's like your preventative maintenance of your home. It's like preventative maintenance of our industry and your communities. And that, and it can be a fun thing too, where it's not this serious thing all the time. It's just building an alliance within your own host network that you're going to have to either build or join, and Rent Response Space helping to facilitate that.
Yeah, I'll add one thing too. I wouldn't even say it's preventative maintenance. It is the right thing to do, first and foremost. And second of all, it's an opportunity. We learn more from each other than you could ever learn online because there's this mutual experience that we're all going through. We all had to build our own listing for the first time or even just decide to do this. Like that why, right? I ask people all the time, like, why did you get started? And most people are like, you know, they have to almost scratch their head. And it's like, for me, it's like, I don't know, I was moving to Texas and so on and so forth. And the reality is there's a lot of people who start and then take the exit ramp at some point. But if we want to, for 5 to 10 to 20 to 100 years from now, build the vacation rental, short-term rental, whatever it will be called in the future, this world that we know is like effectively right there. Or is already here, but I don't think many people understand the ins and outs and the nuts and bolts of it all. Like, who else is going to build that but us? And I think you know the answer to that. But the reality is those who build it will have more influence over the future of it. And you guys are influencers. You guys are educators. You are community builders. So I'm kind of preaching the choir on this. If anybody's listening to this and you want to be that leader, I'll ask the question again. Do you want to be a leader? Your hands is kind of like forcing its way up. That's your gene telling you, you are a leader. Try, go find some other people locally and we can help you do that. Build your local host group and magic will happen. We've actually taken a ton of the kind of repetitive, redundant, unnecessary labor out of it to make it easier and easier for you to just succeed and do the good stuff, the local stuff, the outreach, the community building that only you can do.
A great topic you brought up is, previous to hitting record, was why is company culture important? So can you elaborate on how company culture is related to your efforts at Rent Responsibly as it relates to the host community as a whole?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've now realized that I'm an entrepreneur because I've started a couple things. My first startup, I didn't expect to answer it this way, but I'm going to do it anyways. My first startup was a charity. It was something that I was just so passionate about. And my co-founder, my best friend at the, you know, he's still my best friend, but at the time we were just trying to solve for a loss we had and we knew we needed to do something. And so we kind of built this culture of we're going to have fun and do good at the same time. And the proceeds from our efforts were going to go to a hospital to buy toys and games for kids at that hospital. It was in memory of somebody who passed. It was very kind of circular and washed itself in terms of like satisfying the goal with things we wanted to do. And I think culture ultimately is what the result of that was. It attracted people who felt the same way. And culture to me is something that it's going to form. And if you don't think about it and are purposeful and thoughtful about what kind of culture you, and I say you to the leaders out there, culture stems from leaders. Culture is defined by the behavior that the leaders tolerate. So if you have bad behavior and you tolerate it, your culture will accept that. If you don't tolerate bad behavior or things that just aren't up to your values and standards, you know how it goes. It's something that will take on a life of its own eventually. So I really think, and Alexa, my co-founder, and I thought a lot about culture and values and mission before we even put a website up. And I think that's served us really well because everybody we've attracted into the organization, the leaders that we work with closely, they all dedicate themselves to the greater good, the long-term future, the broader needs of the community, not their own interests. Those are all things that are in the DNA of our organization and are cultural. So we've been very thoughtful about that. I will also say burnout, wellness, self-care, that is in our culture. And almost because I would blow a gasket if I didn't like take time off myself. And I want everybody on my team to be happy, healthy, well, all these things, enjoy what they're doing every day. And I take that as a personal challenge to create a culture that celebrates that and also provides tools and different ways to do that as a team and as a group. I believe there's a lot of value in that. So if you think about your own culture, whether it's your family or just even like kind of the vibes you put out, right? Your aura, like that is ultimately something that becomes almost institutionalized when you start an organization. And I really think it's something, and we talked about it a lot on our Rent Responsibly Summit a couple of weeks ago. And it was like the high, people really like took to that. And I think it's not talked about enough.
I want listeners to know too, when he's talking about culture, you as a host, you have your own company culture, even if it's just your turnover team or your maintenance staff, like this is applicable to you as every home. You are the CEO of that home. You have your own company that's attached to that. So whatever those service providers are that you use, and then also your clients who are AKA your guests. But David, I want to wrap up this episode. I want to go back because I want there to be some action here. Number one, we know where they're going to go to rentresponsibly.org. They're going to check it out. You mentioned three things: noise, trash, parking. Mm-hmm. Listeners, I want them to look at those things in their homes today and analyze them and make improvements. Obviously, we talked about noise aware. You heard Sarah's example. That is something to get ahead of. We always see a lot of times in the marketing for noise aware, it's always after people are interested to get the device after the fact. Let's get ahead of that. Like Palm Springs, let's solve our own problem ahead of time. But trash and parking. So obviously noise, there are sensors out there. We'll link to those here in the show notes. But parking and trash, what are some things that you see help alleviate those for hosts?
Sure. I think philosophically, there are four stages of a booking or a host journey to be proactive. Number one is your actual listing. So like you're getting started, you're putting up a listing. How are you communicating the rules? Parking is an easy one to kind of address in this regard because depending on the occupancy of your home, you can take a pretty educated guess about how many cars might show up. If you think there aren't enough like dedicated spots to that many cars, think about the guest. Are they going to know? They're going to ask the question, well, if we have three cars in the only space or two, where are we going to put this other one? Answer that question up front. So it's about communication and the listing. That's stage one. Stage two is you got a booking. What communication are you sending to that guest? I think one of the most important things to do is get acknowledgement that they've read whatever you're trying to share with them. And so that is step two. Step three is actually check-in day. I've found after hosting 1,500 reservations that check-in day is the end-all, be-all day. Everybody's excited. They want to unpack. They want to get do whatever they came to do. You're not going to have a ton of attention span. So some sort of outreach or check in, whether it's automated, hey, how's everything going? You're checking in. I want to make sure everything's great. That's something I instituted as soon as there was any automated messages. And I never had a quarter. I wasn't an Airbnb super host. Like it was just check in day alone where you need to make contact with the guest and make sure everything is all good, especially things like understanding the house and the home and parking and things of that nature. And then the last is in-stay, which to your point is sometimes it's a little later, right? Like you haven't prevented it if there's an issue in-stay. But by the time the stay is over, the opportunity to be a good neighbor is over. So that in-stay piece, I will also say hosts have a spidey sense. Like if you have a spidey sense that you need to check in,
you probably need to check in. Yeah, right. That is true.
I will say it's honed over time, but I will also say that you are operating something that is very important and meaningful. And like you said, you're the CEO of the home. You can't just ignore that spidey sense, or you shouldn't. It doesn't have to be you, but think about, can somebody go check on the property for you? Can somebody go check in? There's a million ways to do this. We could go on and on about it, but I really think those four stages, if you haven't thought about how you're communicating and what your practices are in each of those stages, are you being proactive, reactive? Do you have technology? Are you validating your spidey sense? Things like that. I mean, at the end of the day, time will tell whether you're doing a good job or not, but I don't think we have the luxury, if you will, to just trust that everything's gonna be great and learn as we go. Like, that's old news. That's the old way to do it. Now you got to step up.
And I think that's what helps Annette and I get up every day to do what we do, listeners, is because there's a lot of set it and forget it education out there. And we talked about the importance of education, but I think it's the kind of education that's going to carry you through years and years down the road. And the set it and forget it sales tactic that we're often fed is dangerous to our industry. Right? Because if we have this mindset of just, you know, finding a cleaner and then like peacing out, that's a great way to sabotage the longevity of the short-term rental industry. It is work. It is rewarding work. But it takes, and even once you set your house rules or you discover the parking, city parking patterns change, right? Things change. And so it's important to revisit your listing, revisit your messaging before there's an issue, and just have that be a habit of yours. You can always tweak and be involved and update your business operations.
That's why your guest count, Sarah and I are anti-heads in beds. That's why normally if your place has two bedrooms, you're not sleeping 10 people, because that's cars, and that's a lot more trash. So that's also why this like anti-heads and beds thing, it's like, it's all a trickle down of the way that what the house was built for and intended for originally.
Yeah. Respect and the so, home and the
yeah,
community.
It's those are the trickle down things that when you see a listing that has an exorbitant amount of guests being able to spend the night, can the rest of the home, AKA the outdoor parking and trash, facilitate housing that many people? So I think that's something that people forget about if they see an apartment that can sleep eight people and it normally have two. Those are those trickle downs that are very important there. This was awesome, David. I know that there are some hosts, hopefully, that are rethinking their noise, their parking, their trash.
How to have fun with their fellow hosts.
And how to connect with other hosts. And you have given them so many action items. Please reach out to Rent Responsibly, everyone. But if you have one final call to action or one final comment, this is the mic is back over to you. What would you say, David?
I would say this has happened before. This cycle of new, what feels new to many people, but a new emerging, dare I say, disruptive technology that has enabled something that people want to do has happened before. And it took a while for the rules of the road, if you can guess where I'm going with this, rules of the road, that it took a while for it to shake out till everybody agreed these are the rules of the road. So in the automobile, when it rolled off the assembly line, the Ford Model T in 1908, there were 200,000 cars on the road. There were quickly 2 million cars on the road 7 years later, and there were no rules built for the automobile. So they were now side by side with horses and buggies, which went 5 miles an hour. Automobiles went 20 miles an hour. It took a while for them to realize, hey, we need speed limits. We need driver's ed, driver's test. We need stoplights and so on and so forth. That is that moment that we're in right now. Noise aware is a seatbelt, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Rent Responsibly is ultimately just getting the professional drivers or the experts or the auto enthusiasts or the gearheads, as they called them back in the day, into a group so they can say, hey, let's just solve these problems, innovate and build tools and figure out how to educate the next newest driver. And all of a sudden, if you read CDC websites like I do, please don't make fun of me. Automobile public safety efforts are lauded as one of the best things the United States did in the entire century. And guess what? We had Detroit. We were kind of the motor capital of the world. I really think we haven't figured out the rules of the road till a point where, well, we don't have to visit them again, but it will happen. And in the next 3 to 5 years, it took 30 years for the automobile, but we have 3 years is my estimation to get this right. Figure out the education, figure out the standards, figure out how we get together. And ultimately, the future is very bright. Then we can have a lot more happy hours, a lot more block walks and community group events and charity events and things like that, volunteer events, and less, you know, City Hall kind of having you panic or whatever, feel uncomfortable at a microphone trying to like tell your life story in 2 minutes. that is not our destiny. Right. Believe me, it's not. But this has happened before and it is up to us.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Love it. David, is there a specific way you want to listeners to reach out to you, or is it via the Rent Responsibly website?
I think the Rent Responsibly website, I'm happy at david@rentresponsibly.org to take any questions that your likers and subscribers have, but also join Saren and Annette in their group. I hope to be a part of that too. You know, ultimately, the answers are out there. They're not always on, you know, listicles. They really reside in people who've had the similar experience. And look, if you're a leader, look in the mirror, and there are other people like you who are making it easier to start building community at a local level.
We appreciate everything you and Responsibly is doing. David, thank you so much for your time. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.